Indeed we do. Turn our eyes to Jesus. Let me pray. Lord God, as we come to your word this morning, that's our heart's desire, that we would see you, Jesus. You're the image of the invisible God. You are God among us. You are the incarnate one. As we look to Jesus, we see God. We thank you for your revelation to us of yourself in Jesus. We thank you for your presence with us today as we gather by your indwelling spirit. Open our eyes, open our hearts that we might see Jesus today. Amen. Amen. Well, if you will allow me to indulge for a moment, just flick back to that previous slide for a sec there, Jake. I want to give you a little insight into my family, if that's okay. I grew up in the hills at Bridgewater with my mum and dad and my two sisters. Now, show of hands, anyone the oldest in their family? Yeah, oldest? You guys got it rough, right? Oldest always get it hard. Anyone the youngest? Yeah, you guys got it way easy, right? The youngest always, they get away with so much. All right, who was in the middle? Anyone in the middle? Yeah. We were forgotten, right? Anyone feel like they were forgotten, the forgotten middle, right? That was me, between my two sisters, easily forgotten. Now, we're all adult children and we've all moved out of home and doing our own thing. So my parents are empty nesters now. And so to keep in contact, we have a WhatsApp chat group. Now, if you're not familiar, WhatsApp is just an application that you can have on your phone that allows multiple people to message each other at the same time, and that's how we keep in contact with each other. We share photos of our kids and, you know, talk about what's going on or on the weekends or those kinds of things. It works really well for us. Now, being empty nesters, my mum and dad are taking the opportunity to downsize, do things like have nice furniture because they don't have kids in the house to ruin it and those kinds of things, and change a few things around their house. And one of the things recently to be changed was their kitchen table. Only the only problem was that it's not just their kitchen table, it was our kitchen table. And so when mum and dad sold the table and put in a new one, they didn't consult us. But they did tell us. It felt like it was a moment to be shared with the family. And so earlier this year, my mum put this picture of our table on our WhatsApp chat group. This is what it looks like from my phone. And I'm not sure if you can read the caption there, but it says this with the photo. It's time to go. Bought a new table and chairs today. Say your goodbyes to this beauty and remember the great and stressful, wink, meals that we had around this table. Fun family times, take a number. Now, I'll explain that comment in a moment. But there were fun and stressful times around our family table. And receiving this post from Mum did something to our family. Over the next few hours, me and my sisters and my mum and dad were texting memories that we had about this table. I referred to every Tuesday night down below because it seemed to me that for some reason my adolescent teenage daughter would, teenage sister would unleash her teenage attitude on the family every Tuesday night. It was like by appointment. I don't know what it was about Tuesdays, but that's what happened. I also remembered as a kid hiding the food from my meal that I didn't like under the little ledge underneath the table so that I didn't have to eat it. And I suggested Mum probably check under there that there weren't 20-year-old mushrooms and capsicums that had solidified themselves into the structure of the table before she sold it on. And the take a number, well, as a Smith, you have to fight for airtime around the table. Me and my sisters all have fairly big personalities. And so there's one night we were all trying to tell Mum and Dad what had happened at school that day, and Dad finally said, enough, everyone, take a number. And so we were like, what? And I was like, no, Riley, you're one. Kelly, you're two. Leah, you're three. Okay, let's work it through the family. And that comment still goes on in our family. But then down the very bottom, my dad said this. I also remember lots of your friends talking about me and my sisters being welcomed around the table and enjoying a family experience that they may or may not have had experience before. Laughs, stories, affirmations, and good times. My family wasn't perfect. It still isn't perfect. No one's is. But for us, the kitchen table became something of a symbol of the kind of family we sought to be. The table is not just a piece of furniture or a place where we ate. For us, it was a symbol of connection and welcome, robust family discussions, family meetings. Always knew we were in for a good one when Mum called a family meeting around the table. The highs and the lows of life all happened around the table. For us, the table was a symbol of relationship. This morning, we're bringing to a close our series on what it is to live life as people of God together. And over the last few weeks, we have looked at how God has always sought to bring about his purposes through community and some of the barriers that we face in engaging with the community of faith. The week after that, we looked at what it is for the community of God to be family together. That is, we are adopted into the family of God, that by definition, we become siblings. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. We've looked at the beautiful and compelling image that the church is called to be in the second half of Romans 12 as a gathered people being transformed into the image of Jesus by the renewing of their minds. And so today, as we conclude, right before we head off to our Father's Day lunch or whatever is ahead for you this day, we're going to briefly look at what it is to pattern our lives on the way of Jesus in hospitality. What it is for us to pattern our lives on the way of Jesus in hospitality. Our key text for this series has been John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus says this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You see, it is all well and good for us to grow as a community of love together. Loving and serving one another is great, but the reality is that God doesn't actually call us to be a closed and cozy Jesus club. God doesn't call us to be a cozy club together. There is something about the love that we have for one another that makes known the reality of the fact that we are followers of Jesus. There's actually a missional edge to our love for one another. It makes known that we are followers of Jesus. And our community life together, our growing in life together, is not only for our sake, but actually that we might invite others to come and join in and come to know this Jesus for themselves. And that's exactly the way that Jesus grew his compelling community of love around himself. He drew all kinds of people around himself into community, primarily through hospitality, by eating and drinking. Let me show you what I mean. If we have a look at this sentence, this might be familiar to some. The Son of Man came what? How would you complete that sentence? Not rhetorical, call it out. To seek and save the lost, yep. Anything else? Son of Man came that we might have life. That's a true statement. I'm not sure if it's an actual reference. I'll check. Oh, it's true. To show us God. Yeah. Let's have a look at some of the biblical texts around this. The first one, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Georgia, you had that one, did you? Oh, Justin, all over it. Good work. I just saw a knowing, like, yeah, we got that. Yeah. Second one, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Over here, Jenny. The third one might be surprising. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Interesting, right? Now, if you have a look at those three passages, you can note that the first two tell us the what Jesus of what Jesus came to achieve, but the third tells us something of the how Jesus came to do that. Jesus came to serve and to seek and save the lost, and he did that around tables. And it actually got him into a fair bit of trouble as well, as you read the Gospels. But the centrality of meals are all through the four Gospels. And as have a look at this, as something of the paradigm for the way Jesus would operate and invite us to follow him in, right up front at the beginning of the book of Luke, Jesus calls Levi the tax collector to come and follow him. And then the very immediate thing they do is throw a dinner party. Have a look, Matthew 5. From verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet and for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, I've led you astray there. I've put an incorrect reference. That's actually Luke chapter 5, verse 27 to 32, not Matthew. So if you're confused there, that's my bad. Luke. Do you see this? Right at the beginning of Luke, Jesus proceeds to eat and drink his way all through the Gospels. Luke 7, there's dinner at Simon's house. Luke 9, there's the feeding of the 5,000. Luke 11, there's the dinner at the Pharisee's house. Luke 14, a Sabbath meal at a Pharisee's house. Luke 19, the Zacchaeus tax collector moment, and then back for dinner. Hospitality at Zacchaeus' house. Luke 22, the Last Supper with Jesus' disciple. Luke 24, after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus breaks bread on at Emmaus with the people on the road to Emmaus. And then again, Luke 24, Jesus eats a meal in the presence of his disciples. Jesus literally ate and drank his way through the Gospels. Why? Because the table equals relationship. And this is what Jesus was on about, relationship. These places of giving and receiving hospitality became central places of welcome and connection and ministry and teaching for Jesus. For those he was ministering to and those looking on, the table was a surprising place. As I said, it got him into a fair bit of trouble. A place where Jewish notions of privilege and favoritism were challenged by ignoring the boundaries between slave and free, male and female, pure and impure, rich and poor, saint and sinner. The table is a place where we create community. It's a forum for conversation, for rest, for reconciliation. The table is a place where we can simply talk. It's no wonder in Romans 12 that Paul would call the church to practice hospitality. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a glaring problem for me in all of this, and it's this. I can't cook. I can do some pasta. I can do a baked potato on a good day and a barbecue, except my track record isn't great with that since I gave me and my two older boys food poisoning by undercooking sausages one night when Naomi was out. We were up all night. It was horrific. Cooking's not my forte. But fortunately, the problem isn't really a problem. Because here's the thing about hospitality. It's not really about the food. It's not really about putting on a good show, ensuring everyone's happy, having a good time, or impressing people with our homes or whatever. Hospitality is an attitude of the heart. It is an openness to receiving another into your space, whether literally into your space or simply into your own awareness. We can have an attitude of hospitality. Parker J. Palmer writes this of hospitality. He says, "Hospitality means inviting the stranger into our private space, whether that be the space of our own home or the space of our personal awareness or and concern." I think that's a helpful understanding of what hospitality is. And what Jesus was seeking to achieve around tables was not about food, it was about creating space for the other, holding space for another's. And as he did that, he saw them and he listened to them and he was with them and he received them into his space. To offer another thought, Henri Nguyen writes this in his book, Reaching Out. Hospitality means primarily the creation of free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. Isn't that wonderful? It's not to bring men and women over to our side, but to offer freedom not disturbed by dividing lines. That's exactly what Jesus did all through the Gospels. Jesus created space for people around tables, offering them the opportunity to be received by him and to see what God was really like. Now, don't get me wrong, food is helpful. Good coffee is helpful. But as we pattern our lives on the way of Jesus, we're called to be a people who create to create space in our homes or simply space in our personal awareness or concern for another. I want to call us to grow in this attitude of this. That's the point, right? This attitude of hospitality for one another and for those who do not yet know Jesus. We're called to be a people who receive one another, not disturbed by dividing lines. I wonder what it would look like for you to embrace an attitude of hospitality around your Father's Day lunch table today, if that's what you're doing. But I also wonder, what might God do in and through us if we grew as a people who created space for one another and held space for one another? I suspect we might grow as a community of love, patterned on the way of Jesus. Now there's another layer here to all of what's going on here. Because not only did Jesus come eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners literally around actual tables with real food as a pattern for us to follow, and it certainly is a pattern for us to follow. There's another layer to what's going on here. Because along with this, the tables that Jesus ate around became something of a pointer to the good news of the gospel itself. That through Jesus, we're welcome at the table of God. God is a hospitable God. He is a God who creates space for us, who welcomes us through his son Jesus. Now, I've shown this before, but it's relevant for us again today. Have a look at this picture of Rublev's icon from 1410. Now, we're not often into icons in Baptist churches. This might be new for you, but it's a wonderful depiction of the Holy Trinity. Here we have the Father, Spirit, and Son. And we're about to move into a time of communion, so if you're serving us today, that now's a great time to get sorted for that. You know, there's lots that we can draw from this image, but I want to point out just three things for us today. Just have a look at the composition of the bodies around this table. If you look at them carefully, they're seated in a circular formation, which illustrates something of the community of the Trinity, Father, Spirit, Son, in perfect community together. Second thing is this, notice where they are. Where are they sitting? At a table. Symbol of hospitality there in relationship with one another, holding space for one another, loving and being loved by one another. And as you look at the picture, here's the third thing. Notice as the observer where you are. You are in this picture. Did you realize that? as you draw a circle through the around that table, do you realize that you are the fourth member at the table? This is an invitational picture. But before we get too focused on ourselves or too individualized, which we love to do in our individualistic culture, could it be that we as a church are the fourth person at the table? That this is an invitation for us as individuals, but also as a community, to come to the table of God. This is the good news of the gospel, that through Jesus' self-sacrifice, his death and resurrection that pays the price for our sin, space is created for you and for me and for us as a church in the very triune life of God. Such is the hospitality of God, motivated by his love for us. That is amazing. That is wonderful. And it's mysterious. It's a mystery, but it's very good news. So this morning we've talked about tables a lot. My family table, Jesus at the table of the Trinity. Why? Because we're seeking to grow in our life together as the people of God, centered on the way of Jesus. And for Jesus, the table equals relationship. And so it's fitting today that we come to yet another table of relationship. And that's the Lord's table, where we come and we receive the bread and we drink the cup and we remember and worship God for the fact that we are received by him through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. As we eat the bread today and as we drink the cup, these are very physical, tangible things that we do. It's an incarnational moment, to use that language, where we participate in the reality of what this icon is depicting for us. That through Jesus, we're forgiven, we're embraced, we are welcome at the table. That's amazingly good news. Let's allow God, you know, God wants to receive us today. He wants us to come to be with him. He wants to be with you. He wants to, you know, the scriptures say, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Let's do that around the table today. Imagine an amazing communion table right here. We're going to hand around the cup in a moment, and if you haven't got bread, there's some available on the table back there. And we're going to partake of the bread and drink of the cup together at the table of God. So before we do, let me pray, and I'll invite the servers then to come and serve us today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to the table today, may we know afresh the wonder and the depths of the love of Christ for us, that he would create space in the very life of God through his sacrifice on the cross for our sin. We thank you, God, for the wonder of your grace, that you would not only want to receive us, but that you would do everything necessary to receive us into your life. And so, Lord, we want to be a people who come to the table, not by merit, but by grace. And so we thank you for your grace today that enables this in Jesus. And as we do, may we be a community that practices hospitality in the way of Jesus, just as you have done for us. As you were motivated by love for us, may we be motivated to create space in our homes, but also in our lives for each other and those who don't know you yet. That we might grow as a loving community, and as we love each other, we might make known the reality that we are your disciples. Amen. So Paul would write to the Corinthian church, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is the covenant of this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often and as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I invite you to take the bread as you are ready, as you come to the table, as a symbol of the fact that you as an individual are welcome at the table. But then hold the cup, because the reality is that it's not just about me, or it's not just about you, but it's about we and it's about us. God has always worked out his purposes in community, and he's calling his church to the table afresh this morning. So we'll drink the cup together as a symbol that we are in this together as followers of Christ as well. So take and eat when you're ready, and let's hold the cup. So Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. Riley, the sinner, in need of grace. Thank you that you welcome me to the table. And that's true of each of us today, here today. But I also thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for us. Your people here of Victor Harbour Baptist Church, or if you're visiting from other churches, you died for their churches too. You died for your church, your people. And so, Lord, as we come, we take the bread and we drink the cup, we remember. We worship you and we thank you. Enable us to go and do likewise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink together. Amen.